When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Hey everyone, and welcome. I'm Joko.
And this is Haley.
And you're tuning in to the Permission to Stand podcast, where every Thursday you get your weekly hefty dose of K-pop talk, news, updates. This is a very hefty one. I really know it's going to be a lot. This is like, you know, we always joke around saying that, like, oh, you know, it's hefty. Yeah, it's usually hefty lately. And this one, but this one is bad. But it might be, it's bad for you and me for recording wise and editing for me after, but it might be very, very good for our fellow listeners and fellow K-pop
stans. I don't know, like, how did people feel about that 1 hour and 45 minute episode?
No one complained about it that I heard or saw. Everyone loved it. Apparently, I saw comments, love it, love, thanks for loving it. I'm glad everyone else is enjoying this. But we have a lot to talk about. We have comebacks, of course. We have a decent amount of music videos to cover. We have some Cordis talk. We have a lot of more news of other K-pop idols leaving their groups. Mm-hmm. Of course, that we're going to talk about NCT. We have some 17 news for fellow carrots. Big Bang, we have for VIP, you know, top T.O.P. finally dropped his album.
Yep.
We will kind of break that down a little bit because some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's a very heavy and crazy album. What else do we have? I'm scrolling down. Haley has Ricky for some reason because she wants to throw Ricky in here. My fellow Monsties, it's Baemon's second anniversary. I'll talk a little bit of what I watched and checked out. Hearts to Hearts, I do have some content because I watched some for that as well. To my fellow Heartshoe, because I am very in deep with Hearts to Hearts right now currently. Fellow Fear Not, I do have a little bit of Le Sserafim as well. Army and Stay always get fed at the end. Mm. We have a good amount of BTS and Stray Kids to round out the episode. Fasten your seatbelts, get ready. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe if you have not done so yet. I don't know how you've gotten this far and have not done so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't, please support us by doing any of that wherever you're tuning in. We are pretty much available on almost all podcast streaming platforms. And as I tell Haley, where else can they check us out? It gives me time to swallow all the saliva that gathered up in my mouth because I've been talking for like 2 minutes straight. Haley, go.
Hey, you can find us on Instagram at Permission to Stand Podcast.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm drowning anymore. I think we should just get started, Haley, with comebacks because April 9th is around the corner. It basically is the day when this episode drops.
Yep.
And when this episode drops, that means Cat's Eye's single, Pinky Up, would have also dropped, along with Hwasa's single, So Cute. And let's see, what's next on April 13th?
We have Play with their fourth mini album, Caligo Part 2.
Or is it Caligo?
I don't know.
Calligraphy.
We have TXT with their eighth mini album, Seventh Year, A Moment of Stillness in the Thorns.
You forgot the colon.
Whatever.
Colon, A Moment of Stillness in the Thorns. April 17th, Extraordinary Heroes with their eighth mini album, Dead And. Not Dead End, but Dead And with an A. Title track is called Voyager.
Oh my God, and April 20th.
I figured you'd want to talk about this one. Yes.
We have Cordis with their pre-release lead single for their second EP, Green Green.
But
which will actually, the whole EP will be dropping on May 4th.
Gotcha. And May 4th is a little bit far ahead, but Cordis isn't the only big time Gen 5 group dropping an album on May 5th. So looking forward, or May 4th, sorry.
Mm.
It's going to be Baby Monster.
At the same time.
Same time. Their third mini album. Of course, we know it as Choom right now. Studio Choom. Mm. Minus the studio. Choom. So that's also dropping the same day. But also April 20th, along with Cordis' pre-release single, NCT Wish, Ode to Love. Their first full Korean album is dropping. Mm-hmm. Then we have April 21st.
We have &TEAM with their third EP, We On Fire.
And we'll stop here on April 22nd. We'll save more content for later. INI dropping their eighth single, Pulse.
Holy's eighth.
What was it last week? Four?
It was eighth. Fourth and eighth.
Yeah, crazy. So it's all four and eight.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. All right.
Let's. It's not 6-7. Just kidding.
Oh boy, I cannot believe you even said that.
Anyways,
how dare you? music videos. Let's talk about it. Go ahead.
So we checked out Kickflip's new music video, I Poppin', and
I didn't see any.
Wait, was it Vegas? It was filmed in Vegas, not LA.
Oh, no. I don't know why I put...
Kickflip, this music video was actually filmed in Los Angeles, and it's a very, like, upbeat, song, punk-ish and sounding, and they have skateboards.
There's skateboards! Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah.
It's a very fun song. Their songs are very catchy and fun.
They're
and
very, like...
easy to listen to.
They feel like pop
rock. Yes, pop rock. Pop rock, definitely.
Like, music kind of
thing. I like it a lot.
Pretty good. I liked it too. And I know we like noticed a lot of different areas in LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was like, this looks like LA. This is definitely LA. LA skyline
then
in the background.
Yeah, it's like too obvious as the music video continued. Then we also checked out Young Posse. And I think one of the main reasons why is because there's like a running joke between our friend group because apparently, not even apparently, because Mama LA Awards, when they're performing, I was for some reason on the stream.
Yeah, he was being filmed when dancing to Young Posse.
No, just getting my groove on. Yeah. So they dropped their music video, We Don't Go to Bed Tonight. Ooh, spicy. Oh. The song itself, it didn't hit as well as like their old stuff. Like, you know, because I really enjoyed like the old real like rap hip hop sound that they had.
Yeah.
Back in their like earlier song, their album. So this one I was just like, it's all right. it didn't have that same kind of sound vibe. So I was a little disappointed hearing it. The whole music video was really cool, though. That part looked like, I think, like downtown. Like, it looked like kind of like Las Vegas, but it's obviously there's, I think it's in Korean, like lettering. Like, mm-hmm. It looks like you're in a downtown area, you know, with all the lights, city lights, mm-hmm. Through the streets of like the alleys, downtown alley kind of things of Asia. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of Inception, too, because like the freaking like neighborhood and buildings are like folding and like moving around them kind of thing. So that was interesting. I wish the song was, you know, like something I wish it was more like the older stuff, but yeah. I mean I have, you know, I don't know if there's more songs or if it was just this music video. Hopefully the other B-sides or whatever that they possibly dropped sounds more like their old hip-hop kind of like 80s, 90s, and 2000s hip-hop sound. Because those songs are pretty dope. I like those ones.
We have Top.
T.O.P.
Which I will talk more about his album in depth. But we did check out his music video for Studio 54.
It just dropped within the past, like less than 24 hours ago. Yeah. Very interesting name, though. I mean, we'll talk about it more, right? Is there...
Yeah, like, I mean, because we all know that the Studio 54 is a crazy nightclub, like, in the 1970s.
Yeah, but it even, like, carried on, and I think it was still live, like, till, like, the 90s.
Right.
And I remember seeing Studio 54, like, I know it like, originated in New York, but then they had, like, big nightclubs, like, kind of, like, in, I think, L.A. had one, Vegas. And I remember seeing Studio 54 in Las Vegas when I was a kid.
That's true.
So... it's just interesting. Once we talk about more of the topic, what behind Studio 54, like what he talks about and raps about, then we'll kind of get more into depth about like what it fundamentally could be kind of symbolizing by naming the song Studio 54. Yeah. The music video itself was like, what did you think of like the quirkiness and the kind of like
quirky.
Crazy?
It's
like creepy.
I feel
creepy,
yeah,
quirky,
yeah, yeah.
And
he gets
like
shot too.
And then there's like weird things going
like
on.
Like, they're eating eyeballs, and then, like, he's walking around while he's bleeding, and then, like, he's dancing, or, like...
Which, ironically...
He can't dance. I think that's just, like, the running gag for him.
I like that he just plays along
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
But we'll talk about... Cause especially that song. Yeah. Is like, that's the big song that mm-hmm. we want to kind of break down and talk about, too, in the album. Mm-hmm. It references some crazy stuff about, you know, Big Bang's past.
Right,
and brings up Big Bang. So we'll talk about that. Just keep tuning in. I don't know what segment. It's probably like in another right. one or two segments.
Yeah.
So once we get there, you will definitely know. Another video. Oh, boy. We
music
will definitely
video.
Have to talk about this music video. Yep.
Yeah, so we did mention it last week, and that was just like the teaser. This is for BTS 2.0, and then because I had mentioned that it was like a homage to the film Old Boy. So we got the full music video drop, and honestly, it's one of my favorites because the choreography is so fucking good in this music video.
The choreography is great. The costumes
yes,
and outfits are
so good.
It's so refreshing and fun again. Like, it's fun, but it's like a song that goes hard,
right?
Right. So
and then, like, all the... for the music video, like, the sets and everything, it is, like, the same, like, backgrounds and whatever for Old Boy. So, like, if you watch that film, you'd be able to recognize that it's, like, really, really paying attention to detail to, like, all those things that happen in the film.
It's really cool because, I mean, it's, like, that super cool Asian gangsters aesthetics
yeah.
and it's and the costumes and outfits, like... I think we talked about it briefly
because
of the teaser,
yeah,
but like
because they were
Jimin's dirty stash,
yeah,
porn
yeah, we
stash.
Did. We did mention it last time, but yeah, if you haven't checked it out, it's really good. Like the choreo is, I don't know.
Haley's
like
obsessed with the glide.
Yes, that part where he goes, let it be, let it be, let it be, and then they're just like all sliding. It's so like it looks so simple, but. They've still got it. Honestly, like, they're so in sync with, like, all their dancing. It's just really clean. I'm super impressed. I'm, like, it makes me remember why I love them
you
so
feel,
much.
I feel like you, like, the army in you has been reinvigorated this past 2 weeks.
It has been. Like, ever since the drop. And then, like, I've been watching a lot more of their content again. And then we also got the, like, a music video drop for Hooligan.
Yeah,
which
was,
freaking
crazy
cool
too.
They look so good.
And they let Jin actually fix up the thing when he puts the ski mask on. He doesn't look like a dork anymore.
Yeah, because like I was telling Joko, I was like, they for sure like filmed this music video before their like live performance for Arirang, where you know Jin was having trouble pulling down his ski mask for Hooligan because he does it in the music video, but obviously like it's way better.
Obviously he actually does it properly.
But I just have one note here for Hooligan. Jimin looks so fucking fine. Like I'm like, damn, okay.
Calm your tits,
I remember why he's been my bias.
So
for 13 years.
So he's still in your top five at least.
Oh, he's been. I mean, like he's always yeah. consistently stayed in my top five, even though I've like picked up a lot of new boy groups. Jimin has always been there, and then like watching Hooligan because like he has this like a jacket on, but it shows off his abs, and I'm like, damn,
classic Jimin.
Yeah,
he's going back to his roots
exactly.
where he used to just show his abs all the time.
They all look fucking good, like all their hairstyle and just like the way that they're styled, and they look more mature. They really, really look good. Like, ARMY should be very, very happy with this comeback and, like, all the music videos that are dropping.
Yeah,
and,
this is cool.
Yeah, I'll talk more about them later.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yes.
Yeah, plenty on that. Let's see. Next up is, we also checked out Anima with Lisa. So Lisa was featured in this one, and she was featured a lot.
I feel like it was her.
It was almost
time.
Like her music video, yeah.
Yeah.
So this song is called Bad Angel. And actually, like, the music video is also, like, dropped with Anime and plus also La Loud, which is Lisa's company, right? It's very cool. I love the aesthetics. The sound
yeah.
is interesting and really cool, too. But, like, Lisa killed it, first of all. But second, like, the whole aesthetic of the music video is crazy. Like,
yeah, she's wearing this, like, white plug suit,
yeah,
I guess.
It's almost like, and then she was, like, unplugging herself, like,
yeah.
like the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how they unplug themselves? But, yes, Haley said it, right? She's, like, wearing all white, like, her outfit, and her
hair
was
white.
And it gave me, like, the Fifth Element vibes and, like, Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
in like Evangelion.
She's like an anime character, honestly.
And then like even when she walks out and like, you know, gets her like angel wings and is walking past like these Roman columns kind of thing, it reminded me of Diablo.
It's really cool.
Like the whole video is really simple, but very like cool, high budget CG, I feel like.
Right. I'm glad that they're still using CG.
No, it's...
I don't want AI. It is cool.
I mean, and then, you know what? Because of this whole drop and everything, Coachella, if you didn't know, is starting this weekend, this coming weekend. I'm sure some of you are actually going to check it out. But you're not just going to be checking out, because originally the lineup, you know, the headliners were Justin Bieber, Sabrina Carpenter, Karol G, and... In terms of K-pop, for us, Big Bang.
Right. With their 20th anniversary. So crazy.
Yeah. So they'll be on April 12 and 19. Taemin.
That's right. Taemin is going to be there too.
Of course, from SHINee. He's doing a solo act April 11 and 18. And then, of course, we got HYBE's girl group slash Geffen's.
Yeah. Cat's Eye.
And they'll be there April 10 and 17. So K-pop acts... like on different days each time,
right?
Which is interesting. Plus, they have Binnie, who is going to be making history as the first ever Filipino group at the festival.
Wow.
They'll be there the 10th and 17th, which looks like the same time as Cat's Eye. But also, since Anima is going to be there,
They're going to have Lisa.
A lot of implications,
speculations
going all over social media. Is that Lisa will make a guest appearance.
I mean, why? I really think she will.
She's been here every fucking year almost, feels like, for Coachella.
Yeah.
Just to hang out and stuff, too.
Yeah,
so might as well
perform.
I mean, she performed last year. Jenny performed last year. So fuck it. They have a good time. So why would they not go to, like, one of the biggest music festivals?
Right.
So there you go. Vibes and Coachella. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Speaking of Coachella, too, I mean... With all the craziness and drama going on with Cat's Eye and Manon, it's like very interesting. So like HYBE initially confirmed that Manon was going to join Cat's Eye at Coachella. But remember, she was supposed to also like, I remember that was announced a while back.
Yes.
And in between a lot of different other schedules.
But she's not anymore?
Supposed to be her return after 2 months.
Yeah.
But now they've taken it back. And also they are, quote unquote, declining to comment.
So she's not going to be there now?
Who fucking knows?
Wow, we'll just have to
You won't know until it happens.
Yeah.
And with her hiatus ongoing, Cat's Eye removed, she even removed Cat's Eye from her own bio. So it's like, it's getting more and more, you know, iffy, this whole situation. We don't know what the hell is going on. Will she perform? Will she be even part of the comeback? I don't think I saw her in the teasers.
The funny thing is that, like, I've seen, I think it's, like, interview previews for Pinky Up for Cat's Eye. And Manon is there. And there's pictures of her, like, with the whole, like, Pinky Up wigs, like, the getup, the concept and everything. But these are probably, like, recorded before
all of
this drama happened.
And they can... easily edit it, just like how Garam was edited out of a lot of stuff, even like Le Sserafim content, which was so weird.
Yeah.
Like when you go back to some of the old videos when they're like talking, like even in the vans, and then they're obviously cropping it so you can't see her. It's so weird. Like for like their documentary for Le Sserafim. But yeah, we'll find out. Mano herself says, quote unquote, positive conversations going on.
It's
but
so
I mean.
Weird.
Can we even trust her? HYBE doesn't trust her, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
We will see when that point happens.
It sucks. I'm sad.
We'll find out when Coachella drops. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of... If you didn't know this, Coachella's been doing this for years now. They have, like, live cams for each of the different stages.
Yeah,
so you can always watch it on YouTube.
Yep.
There you go. And with that said, I think now's a good time for you to take your first water break and hydrate, bathroom break if you need to unload your hydration. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell while you're doing all of this because you're still here tuning into the Permission to Stand podcast. And Haley, what can they do and where can they check us out?
You can find us on Instagram at Permission to Stand podcast. And if you want to chat with us, just send your DMs there.
Many of you still do. And I read some of them.
Finally. Yes.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done. more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances. So much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you. It's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's CARILOHA.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.
All right, let's continue because there's a lot of stuff to continue on with, Haley. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about something recent that you're kind of, I could tell you were visibly irritated and upset about.
I was.
All right, well, yeah. Tell the people what was happening.
So because Cordis is here in LA right now, they put out a notification on Weverse saying if you are a core global member, you could sign up and have a chance to win a chance to go to the Helpful Honda Lounge. This is in Burbank. It's a very like small lounge. I think other groups such as Treasure, I think Idol did it, Jackson Wang, like they go there and then have like a small interview, and then I think at the time, because Cordis did win Rookie of the Year for iHeartRadio, so they were going to accept their award there also. Because this is all near like the iHeartRadio studios in Burbank. But yeah, so me and my friend, who we did actually go to the iHeartRadio one last year because she got very lucky. So we wanted to try for this one again because like we're both core membership holders, so we signed up and we like prayed that we would get it, but there was also another chance if you didn't have the membership, you could sign up on iHeartRadio and apply for it there as well. So we did both. I even had Joko sign up and then she had her husband do it as well, but no luck. Unfortunately, we didn't get picked because like if one
of
us
got bad ending.
If one of us got picked, like we could bring a guest. Like a plus one. So, but then like, cause I don't know anything about this Helpful Honda Lounge. And so I looked up the venue and it's literally only like 30 to 40 people. So it's very, very small location, very small studio. It's very intimate.
With the amount of fans that Cordis has globally, it's probably like a 0.01% chance to win this shit.
I know, but
especially
like,
with 40 to 60.
Right,
oh boy.
It's so small. But you know what? Like, I had good luck with them. So did Jackie. And like, they have many fans already during that time. But we were able to get it. So we were like, trying to manifest it again. It didn't happen, unfortunately. So I was very, very sad. But I mean, like, it is what it is. The interview itself was, I think, only maybe like 30 minutes. It's very short. There was one, like, because people were allowed to film, so people have been like posting like fan cams of it. There was this one weird interaction that happened during the interview. I guess Martin was talking about like how he sees like different signs or like what fans sometimes ask them to do as like fan service. He's like, mm-hmm. Kiss me, yeah, okay. Hug me, yeah, okay. And then he's like, shoot me. Like he's like kind of like, what the heck? Like, why are people asking us? And then someone in the audience was like, slap me. Like they said said it very loud and clear. And like the reaction of all of Cordis, they just seemed like so like weirded out and off put by it.
Which
like
is, Okay, anyways, yeah, I'll let you finish your part.
Especially James, he was just like, ugh. Like, he was, his face, like, James doesn't hide his, like, emotions at all. Like, if you think something is, like, cringe
one
or
of
whatever,
the most transparent yeah. facial,
so he did
like,
that
no poker
typical
face.
James face. Like, he just didn't seem to like it. But it was so weird because, like, there have been signs for Cordis in the past at fan meets where people hold them up and it says, slap me. And they have done it. But, like, in a nice way, I guess. But I don't know why they were so, like, weirded out when this fan, like, said it out loud. I don't know. But, like, that person is obviously getting a lot of hate from the fandom because they're, like, they're literally teenagers. There's minors in this group. Like, why would you be saying something like that? I don't know.
It makes me think of basically the heart-to-heart sign I have.
Exactly.
But they slapped me, and they didn't seem to mind. At least.
I'm honestly.
But I haven't posted it because I understand that possible repercussion.
I get it.
So I just have it for my own fun because, like, our friend Jirla even helped me write the Korean.
Yeah.
And, like, our friend Erwin wrote it for me. So it's like, yeah. It was fun, but I'm not going to put it because, yeah.
You'll get a lot of hate for it, for sure, especially because you're a guy. And
yeah,
they're young
girls. It's definitely
going to
be worse on my side, for real.
But the thing with Cordis, I'm like, are you guys kidding me? Like, you guys are lying. You've seen signs like this before. There's literally videos of you doing that for fans. Like, why are you acting so weird about it? I don't know. It was kind of strange to me.
Maybe because some of the other fans are really making it weird, though. Because, like, guess. What if they're making it weird? Because, honestly, like, mine was just funny. I just thought it would be funny if they just slapped me.
Because, like...
But then, like, maybe some other fans are, like, really... Especially the way that their fans are. Their fans are kind of crazy.
They are.
They probably mean it like sexualize them. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. But I think this person didn't mean it in that way. It's just because, like, Martin was saying it in that context. He's like, people are asking us, like, shoot me. So, like, that's weird. And so, like, she's probably just throwing it out there, like, slap me. Like, that's also another weird one. But people are, like, taking it totally out of, like, they're, like, hating on her, basically.
Poor thing.
I don't know. Shit. I mean, you should have known though.
Like, I'm sure she's not the only one that thought it.
I got so much secondhand embarrassment for her because the reactions of the members was like really bad. Like, they were just like, ew.
Like, ooh. Ew.
Yeah.
Brother, ew.
Yeah, exactly. Also, K-pop Nara had a pop-up here in LA too, the same day of this Helpful Honda Lounge interview. And
it wasn't confirmed that they were going to show up.
But
you're saying
also,
a pop-up for Cordis specifically.
And only one day. So it's just like, it's weird. It's very random because K-pop Nara doesn't have a location here and they're doing a pop-up specifically only for Cordis for one day. And it's on the day that Cordis is here.
So,
I mean,
you
the
would
chances
assume,
were very, very high that they were going to show up.
You would assume, right?
Which they did.
After, right?
They did after their interview. I think they came because, like, their interview at Helpful, like, the Honda Lounge was at 4. And then I think, like, they left Burbank, and obviously it takes a while because of all the fucking traffic. And they had to go to this K-pop Nara location, which was in LA. So they got there around 6:30. A lot of people didn't know that they were going to show up. So they were, like, obviously, like, very shook and, like, surprised and very happy. But there were people that knew that they were going to come for sure because it was confirmed that K-pop Nara did invite a lot of influencers. They might not have even been, like, super hardcore core, but they were invited. I'm bitter
about that. That's annoying as fuck, because
because one of my friends who I met through, like, the dance workshop we had with Cordis, she actually went because she lives near LA, or, like, she goes to UCLA. So she just showed up there maybe like an hour before, and she got lucky because she said that,
how'd she even get in if it's just an hour before? What
yeah
the
so she told me that people were, like, you know, going to the pop-up and, like, leaving.
Imagine people camping and shit. Yeah,
people were leaving because people were not sure if they were going to come or not. And she said that they kept capping the line. So she got there around, like, 4:50, and she didn't even get in until, like, 5:50. So, like, she was there for a bit, but then it was because they were waiting for people to, like, leave. So people left. Mm. Like, they just went to the pop-up to take pictures, and then they just left. So, like, she was lucky enough to get in. She was, like, more so in the back, like, because there were people already, like, lined up near... They had a stage there. So people were like, why is there a stage? They're probably going to show up. But then what sucks is, like, all those influencers got put in the front row. like they got, she said, because she saw it, because she was there, she said that she saw that they were like escorted to the front, so they would get the front. So like, I guess after those people were there, everyone started lining up and were like, oh my god, like Cordis is going to come, because like, why would they be sitting there like waiting for someone, you know? So, and then they showed up, and then there was the, she posted videos, and it was that whole like NBA crossover thing again. So many fucking phones, can't see shit unless you're in the front, because there's just too many phones in the air, like covering people. So I don't know. I was honestly sad. I was like, damn, I should have gone. But at the same time, I'm like, probably wouldn't even been able to see them because I'm so short.
Then you would have gotten more irritated.
And I would have gotten more irritated. But I did get very sad. I missed them a lot. And like, mm-hmm. I was telling Joko, I was like, bro, we literally live here in LA, and like people are flying in for this shit, just like not even knowing if they're gonna show up.
Yeah, because Cordis is gonna be insane. You guys are in for like the next big thing, for
it
real.
It sucks, honestly. Like their fandom, I don't like it. Like the majority of the fandom, they're crazy.
They are.
And rude.
That's what you have to deal with.
Like, because like I was seeing a lot of comments from people that went to this K-pop Nara push-up. They're like, the crowd or like the fans were not it. Like, they're very rude, they're pushing, they're just like, you know, I don't know, it sucks. And we saw that there at the NBA crossover that they were at, too. It's the same kind of fucking fans.
Well, you know which fans you're implying, to be honest.
The ones that just come from China.
Yeah. Okay, all right, there you go. There it's not go. Implied anymore. But it's. But, yeah. I mean, it's, there's a lot of craziness going on. That fandom is...
It
has,
sucks. I hate it because I love Cordis so much, but I'm like, why are they picking
there's
up?
There's a lot of like Saesong, Saesang, whatever the fuck.
There
sauces.
Is. There's too
sauces.
Much. Saesangs for Cordis.
A lot of obsessed people.
Even before they debuted, which is insane.
Woosa Haley?
Ugh.
Move on, please. Okay. Woosa. Woosa.
Anyway. So, some news here about NCT, because obviously this is huge news for NEOs. Mark and Ten left NCT.
That's insane.
This, like in a few days in between.
In a fucking span since last
episode,
two NCT members left.
Yeah, so basically for both of them, their 10-year contract ended. So that's good. Like, good for you. You waited till the 10 years was up and then you announced like, hey, I'm no longer gonna be with the company. And then I want to do my own thing, which is basically what Mark wants to do. And obviously he had talks with the members. The members knew that this was coming because like during that last encore concert that they had, they were crying. Like the Mungnae of the group was bawling his eyes out. I think this was for NCT Dream. And people were like, what the heck is going on? Like, are they disbanding? But no, it was just Mark was leaving. The members knew. They support him. They've all like commented on his post, like wish him well. Like they are on good terms.
Very civil, yes.
Good terms with the company and the members. This is how it's supposed
it's
to be
it's their
10-year
anniversary, 10 right? Yeah, so.
He's been there for 10 years. So he's like, I'm done. I want to take the next step forward in whatever I want to do with my life. Same with 10. But for 10, it's a little bit different because he is leaving SM. He's not re-signing with SM.
Peace out.
Yeah, literally. Breaking his chains from SM.
Peace out. I'm joining Bam Bam wherever he is.
But he is leaving SM, but he is staying with NCT and Wavy. But he's just not renewing his contract with SM. And I feel like a lot of the SM idols do this. We saw this with SHINee. Like, they're still together as SHINee, but they're not with SM anymore. Which is totally fine. I'm okay with it because, like, SM is not the best company.
Oh, fuck no, they're not.
We all know that. So, like...
Rest in peace, Jonghyun. Jonghyun's birthday, right?
April 8th. Yeah. Damn. So SHINee posted him, of course.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But yeah, so like, I'm sorry for like, you know, the NCT fans, but you knew it was coming. It's 10 years. They've done their time. I mean, at least 10 is still with them and, you know, support Mark because like, obviously he's a really talented, good guy. And then.
Yeah, Mark's cool.
Yeah.
He passes a vibe check.
So there was that. I mean, no hard feelings for them at all.
10 is cool too, though.
Yeah. The reason why I say that is because I'm still really bitter about Hee-sung, who, by the way, is rebranding as Evan as a solo artist. And apparently that was his English name, and I had no fucking idea that he's been, like, referring to himself as Evan through these past however many years?
Evan Almighty.
I was like, where the fuck did this come from? And I was like, oh, wait, he's literally introduced himself as Evan before. I'm clearly not an engine. But I didn't know that.
It's really weird still.
But yeah, I'm still bitter about him because he left his team. I don't know.
He literally pulled a Woojin.
Yeah.
From Stray Kids.
Not long shot.
he did though, right?
He did.
That's what it's looking
like.
That's what it fucking at face value.
It feels like
this
that.
Is what it looks like.
Right.
He's not even staying with the group.
No.
He's separating himself.
He's still with the company.
But he's with the company still. That's the fucking weird part.
How
awkward is that? Why did Hybe, B-Lift, and
like,
anyone
okay
sign off for this shit?
I don't know.
That is so fucking weird. Because it's like, okay, you're a soloist now because you wanted to leave the group. Yet you're still in the same company as the group and the people that you left.
Like
the fans.
I
like,
would have been okay with it. If he just waited for the 7-year contract to end.
He was almost there.
He has one more year. I guess he couldn't wait. Whatever.
Oh, that's so, yeah.
I'm mad.
Haley's not a huge engine.
I'm not.
Like, she's just we're very casual.
Right.
But at the same time, she's obviously upset about this.
Because I would never expect that from him. Ever. But I mean, I guess. Because I didn't even know his name was Evan. His English name or whatever. Anyways. Speaking of contracts.
Speaking of Hybe and contracts.
This is good. This all 13 members of 17 have officially renewed their contracts. Yay!
Yeah.
Which is insane to me because there is literally 13 of them and they're still keeping it together. They're still pulling all the members in and they're still wanting to be together.
Yeah, Evan.
But yeah, so that's amazing news. I'm sure all carrots are very, very happy.
Yeah, that was really
about
cool.
That. So
it was like, was it during their show that they even announced it? Like Scoops or something, right?
Yeah,
shared
I think
the
it
news?
Was for their 17 World Tour new encore that Scoops personally shared the news for the first time, announcing that all the members had completed their contract renewals with Pledis.
Very
Yay!
Cool. What a cool way to do it, too. Like, at least do it like at like a... the concert too. I think it was like the last one, right?
Right, for the encore.
So what a great way to do that for fans. So I'm sure everyone, all carrots around the world, very excited and happy to hear that. Especially because they're talking about renewing it before the actual contract,
right,
like termination's getting close to it,
right?
They're
like, we want to be together still.
Right.
We know we still want to make music.
Very cool. I like that they're just reassuring the fans.
And then they were mentioning members because currently some of them are serving in the military. He said, at a time like this, even though Jonghan and Wonwoo are here, I wish Hoshi and Uzi could be here too.
Yeah.
So, like, eventually, you know, like, that gives them time to all regroup and become 13 again, and then they can all be together again.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Super cool. I can't wait for more of their music. And when, you know, it's, you know, they're all, it's kind of like some of them are going in and then coming out.
Right.
And then a couple of members don't have to go.
Yes.
So it's very interesting. Regardless, I feel like Carrot will be taken care of.
No,
because
exactly.
They sacrificed Fromis. Even though Fromis has 5 and they did release a recent thing too. But I mean, shit. Fucking Pledis. Anyways, I digress on that. Sorry to the fans of Fromis for bringing that up.
Well, I mean, they were never promoted either. So.
It's a fucking shame. I'm glad they were at least there for fucking Hybe game caterers. That's like the only fun
That's
good
the
part.
Only time that I saw them anywhere.
Honestly. Oh, shit. Oh, what could have been? New Jeans wasn't on that because it was before they debuted, so they weren't on it for that recording. Oh, my God. And now look at where we are with New Jeans. Oh, my God.
It's all different now. We have new groups. We have
the world
now.
Is
we
different from
door.
A few years ago in the world of K-pop. Yeah. It's kind of insane to think of. Anyways, we all reflect on how different the landscape of K-pop was a few years ago, please don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell if you're still tuning in and you're enjoying this podcast. I mean, wouldn't you? If you're enjoying this and you're still here and you've made it this far, you know, just hit follow. Hit anything that will
hit 5 stars.
Hit anything that will help the podcast and help fellow K-pop fans and stans find this podcast, because that's how a lot of you found this podcast. Is we just landed somehow in your algo or just showed up, right? And it's because of everyone else that listens to this, all of other fellow K-pop fans and stans that took their time to leave us a rating. Of course, a nice rating most of the time, or 5 stars or any of that good stuff. And it helps. So thank you to everyone that has done that, you know, leave comments and everything and just been communicating with us. Also, where, Haley?
On Instagram at Permission to Stand Podcast.
I'm slowly still posting random small clips of videos from like Twice and Hard Starts. At least I'm posting something.
I got nothing. Who have I seen this year?
Cordis.
No. Barely. Yeah. Could fucking, what do you mean, see no? Them. Oh my God, I can't see them. There's so many phones in my way.
Who was reaching his hands up in the air and dying with their arms? And you, I put it on a Google Drive.
Stop tickling me.
I put it on a Google Drive and you, did you? Said, you
did
told
you
me
to.
Me?
Oh, I don't
What
think
do you mean I sent
to
it
me.
To you? You're in the Google Drive.
I don't know. I didn't what look. What
the? This boomer.
Okay, whatever.
Okay. I think I should talk about some of my girl groups before we get into like the more serious, like Big Bang and Top stuff. Give you a break for a second. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okie doke. All right. Let's continue that wave of good news, right, from 17. But now we're going into the YG territory for this time. And I have Baby Monster News to my fellow Monsties. Baymon News 7. So seven. That video dropped. Because it was for their second anniversary. The keyword there, key number there for this video, as Haley said, is
seven.
Sounds like we're on Sesame Street, yeah, or something, or some like kid show like this. The magic number today is seven. So Baymon News 7 was the title of the video. And we know currently there's only six of them that have been promoting for over a year now. They've hit the
That's
year mark.
Crazy.
Rami has still been kind of missing.
That's a
with
huge
activities.
Hiatus.
But they still named it New 7. So I really think the fact that they even titled it that on the official video,
right,
for the second anniversary. This is the most hope I've ever gotten amongst anything from Baby Monster in the past year. So fellow Monsties, I think it's going to happen. We're just waiting for it to happen. I even talked about last week where Rora accidentally might have leaked it with Rami bringing up 7. So I really think this is YG's official way of saying it's still 7. We just don't know when the F they're going to bring her back. Mm. Please fucking bring her back soon.
What's wrong with her?
And I hope when they bring her back, they really explain what happened. Because she had like breathing issues and all this shit. Like, honestly, you could tell she's always like winded during performances.
Damn, that sucks.
And all that. Something was going on. Anyways, so this is their second anniversary that they had like a little fun celebratory video for Monsties and for Baby Monster. It was cool because it was like a news segment. It's like a legit like a newscast channel, and they did like that whole Baymon News 7 kind of thing. And Rora was our host, or not host, I should say,
anchor.
Our news anchor. And it was super legit, super funny. Even the editing was really cool. And they went into the first half of the video was like a segment on the Baymon second anniversary award show. It's almost like, you know, like the Oscars, the Grammys kind of thing.
The Dundies
kind of thing. They're all dressed super, super fine. Like in very like gorgeous, sophisticated, like nice attire, like dresses and everything.
Like for an award show.
Super, super amazing outfits. I loved it. And what I loved more were the different awards they did. So like they, like a few of them were sitting at different tables, like just like an award show. They're all in their different characters and in terms of like personalities, like Rora and Chiquita bickering and saying like all these very like snark comments at each other. And it's really funny. And they did have different awards for each member. And I'll go over them quickly. Haley, you didn't read this, right? Are you looking at it? You're not looking. You didn't really see it, right?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
But I barely know the members.
Okay, but I just want to see what you know of so far. So first award was the Snack Attack Award. Who do you think won the Snack Attack Award?
Your favorite, Ahyeon.
Why are you rolling your eyes, Haley? Why are you rolling your eyes?
Nothing.
Why are you rolling your
Nothing.
Eyes?
Nothing.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
No reason. Yeah, it's Ahyeon.
Haley.
Right?
Haley is happy that Ahyeon interacted and, you know, was good to us fans.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Good to me.
I appreciate her fan service and is very kind.
But she would want, I don't know, you know. Anyways, That's for us.
That's for us.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, Ayan, you're correct. The next award is CEO of Self-Care.
I don't know. I don't know the members like this. I don't watch any of them.
Okay, I guessed it correct when I was watching because I thought it was Asa, because she in Baemon House, she was always like taking care of like her routines, like skin routines, like even just like nails and everything. So she won that award. That was kind of easy. See, but you knew them enough to know Ahyeon was Snack Attack.
Right, because you always talk about it. Oh my God, like she's eating.
Wait, whoa.
I was like, who doesn't eat?
Yeah, but she eats like fucking Kirby. Anyways, the CGI Sorcerer Award was the next, or actually no, Unexpected Charm Award went to Farida.
I don't know. I wouldn't know any of these.
I didn't expect her to get that. I didn't know who the hell was going to get that, honestly. But also, I put a small note here. I don't like that Farida calls herself Rita in,
Oh, really?
So that's the problem because like, you know how, like, a lot of Asian, like, not just idols, but, like, even celebrities, they like using English names. Like, even, like, when we watch, there's Evan is a good example. Farida, obviously, she even goes on Weverse by Rita. And another one is like, I'm just thinking of like Terrace House. Remember that one member?
Martha.
The Japanese Filipino one goes by Martha. She likes her Martha name. I'm like, Martha Stewart? Like, what the F? Why are you guys choosing all these names? Rita reminds me of Rita Repulsa from Power Rangers Sister Rita, who was like the really mean nun principal of our elementary school. So I'm like, why? Why? Rita is not a cool name. Farida on its own sounds way cooler. It sounds more exotic. Right, just keep it with Farida. It sounds cool.
Farida.
Anyways. Yeah, exactly. It rhymes with Fritos. next was CGI Sorcerer, which was Ruka. Everyone was shocked. Even Ruka was like, what the fuck is this?
I would have said something because, like, for her, isn't she, like, good at cleaning stuff?
That's what I thought. That's why I thought she was a serious candidate too. But I guess they weren't talking about cleaning. It's like the routines and taking care of self-care. Like Ruka's very just clean and tidy. Then
what
again,
the
she's
fuck
Japanese.
Is she doing with CGI?
So she was surprised too. But I guess it's because for all the videos that Baby Monster drops for the like on their vlogs and everything, she doesn't edit it. Oh. But they put so many. They put the most edits on her, like for memes and everything. Oh. So everyone was surprised, honestly, for that one. Next was the Killer Expression Award. Guess who won that?
Chiquita.
Yep. Too easy. And it's funny because Roar started rolling her eyes and was like, ugh.
Wait, what?
This bitch. Because they have like this really funny like bit where they're going. Because they're both like the youngest.
Oh, okay.
So they always bicker a lot. Like a lot. Even in Baymont House, like they like bicker and like a lot of other shows. And even with like Jonathan, like they're always like complaining about each other to each other. So it's kind of funny. And there's also a running gag where Chiquita would never ever call Rora Uni, even though she's technically older,
right,
by like 1 year, but she wouldn't because she's also this one of the younger ones. So that's kind of like why they always bicker. So she won, and then Rora's just rolling her eyes. And then last but not least was the Success Guaranteed Award. Yeah, exactly. But I was like, well, Rora hasn't gotten anything, so I'm guessing she got it. And she got it. It's almost like that one honorable mention award kind of thing. So she won it, and it was funny because Ruka and Chiquita were like cheering and having her do something. And Ruka really feels like another fake Mongne. She acts like the Mongne even though she's the oldest. Does that remind you of any other member or any other group?
Jisoo
and also Twice's Nayeon.
Oh, yeah, you're
for
right.
Sure.
Nayeon.
Especially Nayeon. Nayeon is a baby. Anyways, a really old old baby now because she's 30.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Jisoo's even older.
Yeah,
Shit.
She is.
Anyways, let's see. I lost where I was. Also, that was just part of like the first half. The second half was like Rora continued her news show, but interviewed special guests celebrating the second anniversary, and one of them was a fortune teller Chiquita, who apparently predicted 100% chemistry between Baby Monster and Monsties, and also Kim Asa. Which is, as we all know, that is definitely not Asa's last name. because she's not Korean, first of all. And she apparently was the chief AI K-pop global analyst who boldly predicted that Baby Monster would dominate their first album, which they did. So it's funny because Asa was fangirling over Asa from Baby Monster. So basically fangirling over herself. But they did spit out some facts that were very interesting. They performed 32 shows. Over 300,000 fans and Monsties were there last year. Crazy.
Damn.
That's surprising. Because they were in Japan so many. I felt like they had like fucking like 30 shows in Japan alone. It was weird. They are also the fastest K-pop girl group to reach 10 million YouTube subscribers. We Go Up was the fastest K-pop music video in 2025 to reach 100 million YouTube views. Drip and Batter Up reached over 300 million views total. Man, these are like Blackpink numbers.
Right.
Which makes sense because they're kind of, you know, Blackpink's little sisters. And last but not least, the channel had a cumulative amount of views equaling over 7.9 billion. Mm-hmm. Insane. And at the end, Rora was asking fortune teller Chiquita, will Chiquita ever call Rora Uni? And she flipped a random book page and it said, it doesn't mean much. So it was like perfect how it all worked out. And then Ahyeon was their field reporter. So they went to Ahyeon because she ran into two members from Baby Monster, which were Ruka and Farida. And this is when they actually announced their tour, the world tour, like what's going on. So it begins in June. It's coming up for their next world tour. Starts in Seoul, of course. But they also showed that it's going to be Seoul, Japan, Asia, so other Asian countries. Of course, they put Japan separately because they just love Japan.
And Seoul is always separate.
Asia, North America, so they'll be coming back here. Oceania, South America, Europe, and more. So they're really going to be busy.
Actually, yeah.
They're going to be very busy.
Do they have enough songs? Like different songs?
Yeah, I think they have enough.
Like different songs from their last tour. They're only coming out with one album.
They're coming out with like
a mini album.
It's a mini EP, I think. I think there's like three songs.
Wow.
But either way, I feel like they have enough.
But then it's just like going to be the same songs.
We'll see. I mean, it'll be very interesting because we saw them in Japan.
Yeah.
We got Psycho. We got a lot of songs that we didn't see in America.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's still a lot to add. They still have like three songs. This whole album was not in North America. Mm-hmm. The first album, now that I think about it.
You're right.
We didn't get any of that. We were just lucky enough when we went to Japan.
They had it.
They were performing all these songs we didn't see. But that is going to happen. So they do have enough,
they have different songs.
If anything, it'll definitely be longer than Hearts to Hearts. That shit was 1 hour. Fuck. Anyways, moving on. Literally, Hearts to Hearts. I did not even mean to make that segue. But I did watch a couple videos. One was, I'll make this really short. Ian's vlog. It was really cute because now she's also my bias too. But she just hung out with her parents. It was kind of cool. They're just doing typical stuff. Salt bread, which our friend Kevin, shout out to Kevin, bought. It was good though. I have to admit.
It is really good.
It was good.
It's fresh.
Yeah, probably even crazier when it's fresh. Yeah. But it was great when our friend brought it for us. I want to try it fresh for sure. Mm-hmm. And she had like a savory one that you would never eat because I think it was like some seafood one too. Yeah, exactly. And it looked like they were staying at like some really like not like an Airbnb with her parents. Mm-hmm. I think she's an only child because it was just her parents and her. And, you know, there was like a swimming pool, like she was jumped into the pool with her dad. And at night they were like cooking in like this like outdoor little fire thing. And it's cool because I feel like I think all the members are getting their own little vlogs for Heart Starts. I think a recent one is June that just dropped one. I haven't seen it yet. Like, and their leader. I'm drawing a blank. Jiwoo like had a video, too. But the part I want to point out for the end of like from this whole video is the end when they're doing the fire and they're cooking like beef and stuff. Like they're grilling whole tangerines with the skin. They just threw tangerines on this grill.
For the aroma.
They ate it after. They peeled it and ate it after.
You have to try it.
We have to try this. If anyone has grilled oranges or tangerines before on an open fire and it ate after, please tell me how it is. I'm sure it's just, isn't it just warm oranges? Like, I don't even know. Very interesting. I like grilled stuff, though, like grilled veggies. So maybe it's good.
Grilled pineapple.
The other big Heartstarts thing that I watched was they had a special thing called The Running Dead, which was like The Walking Dead, of course, as you can imagine. And there's like, there's obviously zombies. They're all females, though, because, of course, they're not going to have male zombies attacking or biting and going after the members, which made sense. It was a very interesting episode because they have to also find, in order to win, they have to like find these different vials that are like the vaccines, and they could revive the members with the vaccines. It's just, I don't even know what the hell is going on, to be honest. All I know is in the beginning, because I don't think the members knew that it was going to be like a zombie apocalypse. They're told something else. But an alarm went off when they were being recorded in the beginning. Then the zombies popped out of the side, started chasing them.
Oh.
All the members ran inside, like, the hallway that they're, like, supposed to be in. One of the members already got caught. Stella was, like, caught and bitten. She was, like, already going to get, like, out, I guess, tagged out or, quote-unquote, quarantine. And one of the members, because there's a clear window where, like, they'll be able to view the zombies from, like, where they're quarantined. Aino was running so fast and was ahead of everyone. She ran at the glass and like thumped her head.
No.
Like it was pretty loud. She like just ran into it because it was so clear and just like hit it. It was pretty bad. I need to show it to you because I was like, that sucks.
That
and I think later on, Ian pointed out, she's like, I think you have a bruise on like your head or your cheek or some shit. So it was kind of chaos. And in the end, it was stupid because the rules made no sense for even some parts where the zombies were like, because like you can be quiet in some areas and then pretend to be zombies and they won't affect you or attack you, I mean. But for some reason on the second floor, like even if you're staying still and looking at the wall, they're just going to attack you. So it made no fucking, I couldn't even figure out the rules. And all the members were confused too, to be honest. In the end, they all survived, even though four of them by the end that like there was a timer. When the timer ran out, like three or four of them were quarantined because they were caught, but they all won.
Everyone's a winner.
Yeah, it was that kind of bullshit. And I thought it was going to be separated. I guess it's going to be separated. They're going to have more different things going on with the zombies and everything later. But that was that first part, I guess. And then that was it. It was kind of dumb how they all won. It was entertaining. It was funny. Ian was dancing and being stupid along with some other members. Carmen was scared for her fucking life. And yeah, that was fun. And I think I will talk about Le Sserafim when, or right after you talk about your next segment first. I think that's a good order. But first, let's take another break here, another hydration break, another like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification break. And don't forget to
follow us on Instagram at Permission to Stand Podcast.
Yes. Why'd you get so soft after? Why are you talking so soft at the end?
I don't know. I was going to sneeze. And then you're like, I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, that's why you're sniffing. Okay. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. And don't forget to do all that stuff. All right. Fellow VIP might be waiting for this part. We're going to be talking. We're going to be talking a lot about Top and T.O.P. And we're going to bring up Big Bang. We're going to bring up the different members. And that includes Voldemort.
Yeah.
Sungri, of course. And we'll just go over everything. I mean, Haley, this is you. Take it away.
Yeah, so
you're the OG VIP. This is the reason why you got into K-pop.
They are the reason. Big Bang is the reason why I got into K-pop. So as you know, Top did drop his first album in like 13 years. That's fucking crazy. That's a long time. So it's called Another Dimension. The project features 11 tracks, including dual title tracks, Desperado and Studio 54. And also, like, of course, fans are analyzing the album for what appears to be a deeply personal reflection on his career, his life, Big Bang, and past controversies. Honestly, like, you have to listen to this album in order, because it basically is reading, like, he takes you on a journey, basically, what happened to him, and it's like reading a journal. like he's telling you the story of everything that happened, and you have to read it in order, or like listen to it in order, otherwise it doesn't really make sense. Because like a lot of the songs transition into each other following on from the song previously.
Which is, I feel like, how all albums and music usually is, Haley.
Yeah, like, it is. They, but like, people they jump put around.
It
in order.
I know, like, it. That's why when I, like, even like when I listen to like Blink 182 and all that, like back in the day, and I still listen to them because they have a lot more songs too than usual K-pop albums. Because K-pop albums have like these days like 3 to 5 or some shit, right?
Yeah.
But then like Blink 182 and like all these other like bands I'd listen to, it's like it's like at the minimum like 12.
Yeah, this one is so 11.
So. You need to like listen to them in order because they orchestrate and choose it in that specific order. For a reason. For a fucking reason. And his is even more important because it's a literal story he's trying to tell.
Right. Of, I mean, like, it's what's the same with, on. Like, Big Bang. BTS's Arirang. They wanted you to listen to it in that specific order. So, yeah.
No, they want you to start with everyone's favorite song. Dong.
Number 29. yeah. So, yeah. Top's album is, like, reading his diary, listening to the songs in order just feels like he is telling us the story of his life over the years. So, Top Spot, the album. Okay. First, I will say that the album is a story and probably one of K-pop's best rap albums. That might sound very biased.
Ooh.
Yes. But because, like, if you listen to it and listen to, like, the lyrics and the meaning and everything behind it, it's really, really, really good. Very, like, artistic, very, like, carefully put together by him. One has to listen to the album as a one long song, basically. So, like, just listen to it, like, all the way through, like, nonstop, to really appreciate the story this rapper is trying to tell in about, like, it's probably like half an hour, like 30 minutes. The album is not trying to be relevant or trendy, like, because it really isn't. Like, when you listen to it, I'm like...
You could tell how experimental and it's, like, not, like, what a lot of... Like not the popular... Like, it's not a pop...
Right. He's popular, not like, trying to get to, on, yeah, like, the charts or, you like, could tell. Whatever.
This is a personal album he, like, made for himself.
Yeah.
And maybe for people who want to listen.
Yes. To, like, to his story.
He has to say.
His voice, yeah. Basically.
Very interesting. Very good.
Yeah. It just focuses on telling a narrative. It almost feels like he doesn't care for it being in the charts, like I said. Somehow it feels more important how his fans perceive this album. So it's, like, from him to his fans who have obviously been like waiting for him. So the first song, Self Crucifixion? Crucifixion? Oh my god.
Yeah, Crucifixion. Yeah.
Starts like with, there's like an infant voice in the beginning, signaling a new beginning, then followed by his deep rap and simple beats before slowly building up, setting the mood as an introduction to a narrative. The end of this song wraps up with the audio of news reports about his actual scandal that happened. So, like, he's pulled all this audio from, like, the actual news reports that had happened. And then telling listeners from the get-go that he did not forget, but this is a new beginning for him. So, like, he knows, like, what happened in his past. Like, he's aware of it, but he's still wanting to move forward. And this is like a constant theme in this album for him. So as we progress, there's different angles of struggles in his lyrics, and if there is a word I can use to describe his music, it's very layered. Honestly, his deep voice is the foundation of the songs, and different elements are layered on top of that. The song For Fans has familiar sounds from actual Big Bang songs.
Crazy.
And he did actually like credit them in, you know, the credits that he was using Big Bang and GD's, like, you know, actual lyrics from those songs, but he tweaked them in a way that it's more Top style. So there's a song called Zero Coke, and it ends with Top yelling how he needs help, how he needs somebody, and is literally, it seems like he's screaming from down a hole. The song abruptly stops. And then at the last second. And then the next one follows on, Holy Dude. And this starts with his
title. The title's good.
And then it starts with his heartbeat starting back up in a hospital with someone whispering in his ear, "Open your eyes, Top." So, like, I mean, I'm not going through every single song, but, like, these are some of the ones that stood out to me. And I'm just like, dude, like, this is his whole life that he's put into this album. Like, it's crazy, honestly. And as, like, a VIP, I'm pretty sure you guys all, like, knew that as well. And, like, if you're not a VIP, I mean, you're getting a taste of, like, what the kings of K-pop can put together, basically. So the last song in the album is the simplest and the calmest, almost as if he was screaming, telling us stories, frustrations, and he has finally calmed down at the end of the album. As a longtime fan of Big Bang, I will personally say that this album is 100% Top. Like, it sounds like him, like, oh, everything. Yeah. So, like, you can recognize
it. That's good. It's
it.
Reaffirming. Reassuring.
It feels
also
like him still. Like, it's still Top. This album feels like a step towards himself healing, like, for himself, honestly. Like, he put it out into the world. And then I wish that, like, obviously, I wish that Big Bang would come back together, like, all four of them.
What if in Coachella he just magically appears? No, I wish.
I don't think so. Because, like, when you listen to some of these lyrics, too, and I think, I don't know if I even wrote it here with, oh, I did mention Studio 4 later on. But then just, like,
you didn't. I put that in.
Oh, you did? Okay. Did. Sorry. But then, like, there's a song called, I don't know how to pronounce this, Ovaya?
Ovaya.
So there are lyrics in this song. It says, "The five of us were happier then." So this is past tense. And VIP that are hanging on to fucking OT5 and Seungri need to fucking let go. This is past tense. He's saying they were happier before all that shit that Seungri did, basically, and broke up the group. Honestly, it's his fucking fault that Big Bang is not what it used to be. So, like, it's basically they're being interpreted as a nostalgic look back at the group's original lineup. So they did have happier times, obviously, like, with Seungri before. I mean, as a VIP, and then if you were a VIP, you knew this. They had a lot of fun together. But he also has lyrics saying, "I'm so sorry, but I loved my old days in Big Bang." And then, like, this is the same, like, "I'm so sorry, but I love..." Like, it's the same kind of, like, beat as that. So he's using a lot of Big Bang's old songs in it. So, like, he still knows, like,
it's
Big
obviously
Bang
meaningful
is,
the
yes,
way he's
he
doing
loves
all this.
Big Bang. This honestly, like, this whole album sounds like a love song almost to Big Bang, but also like a breakup, if that makes sense. Like, he's like putting it out to them and being like, "Hey, like, you know, I appreciate you guys and everything, like, and this, like, all in my 20s, like, this was my life, but then now it can't be like that anymore." That's why, like, a lot of VIP are thinking, like, with this album, it doesn't seem like he's going to go back.
I don't think so.
To Big Bang, which it breaks my heart because, like, I really, you know, had hope. And then especially, like, when GD, Taeyong, and Daesung, they all shared his album on their stories, like, showing that they support him. And, like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was so happy. I was like, oh, my God, they're, like, sharing it. And then I guess, cause Joko put this here, I guess, with Studio 54.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's the title track, right?
Yes. One of the title tracks.
It was okay for, like, for me too, when I listened to it, it was crazy, especially, like, all the references he does.
Yes.
And this song is pretty cool.
It's really cool.
It's
sounding
a really cool and unique song, and, like, has a lot of different, like, changes too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, at the end, like, the whole, like, last part of the song, yeah, he just repeats, yeah, like, this whole part.
Over and over
and
again.
And the lyrics is basically, dirty son, they just ruined my soul.
Yeah.
And if you didn't think it meant anything, then, I mean,
what's wrong with you?
Maybe you didn't know, though.
Yeah.
So let's kind of put some info, because it might not mean anything to you if you don't know the whole backstory.
I mean, but for VIP.
For VIP, this is a crazy, this means a lot. Because when he's saying dirty son, if you did not know, if you're just, you know, kind of hearing this for the first time, getting some info on Big Bang for the first time, the thing that tore the whole group apart, was basically some of the group was in military, right?
While all
this was
happening. Of them were in the military.
So all of them, except for the Mangne, the youngest one, was in the military at the time when this whole thing happened. The whole incident is called Burning Sun Scandal.
Yep.
Right? The Burning Sun Scandal. And because all the members were in the military,
yep.
Sungri, who apparently, you know, was sometimes he's like a troublemaker on his own already.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what you told me. Like,
right.
You guys knew that he
right.
sometimes.
Oh, yeah. All the members always had to put him in his place.
Yeah. So
they
he's
kind of knew already that he was like not
well,
all good, I
when,
guess.
When he was on his own.
Yeah.
Alone before he went to the military, he should have went to the military at the same time or something.
They shouldn't have left him alone.
So what happened was when all that was happening, when the other four members were in the military, right?
Yeah, sorry, I was like zoning out.
Yeah, the Burning Sun scandal happened.
Mm-hmm.
The Burning Sun scandal was a crazy thing that happened in 2021. Sungri, along with other K-pop idols and other K-pop like huge honchos and actors and so many people, they were leading this crazy crazy prostitution ring.
Yeah,
it's like a prostitution ring.
Yep.
With embezzlement,
like
sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Gambling.
Yeah.
It was insane. And I think they were doing it in different areas of Asia. And
yeah.
one of them was like the Philippines
yeah.
too, was one of the
yeah.
main areas. So they were found out. They would like film them
girls
doing crazy.
Consent.
They would film
having
girls
sex.
Doing stuff like all this wild shit. Send it to each other. Like
yeah,
some
in a
fucking
group chat. There was like this huge group
it
chat.
It was wild.
Disgusting.
It was insane. Like what? This
yeah.
is the biggest K-pop scandal, I think,
yeah.
ever. Ever. In terms of like the shit that happened,
like the amount of people that were involved.
This is literally like
P. Diddy.
This is K-pop fucking Epstein Island P. Diddy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's all happened in 2021. He ended up being sentenced to prison only for 18 months.
Get the fuck
for
out of
sex
here.
Trafficking, for prostitution, for all this shit and ruining so many people's lives.
I
it's wild.
I hate that shit.
Well,
yeah, Top gets like. More flack when he's doing marijuana.
Yeah, so Top, if you didn't know, T.O.P. got in more trouble for fucking having an MJ.
Fucking bullshit.
But that's
bro.
How we've talked about. If
yeah,
you haven't,
we have.
We've talked about this in
many
episodes
times.
Before, years before.
Some pisses me off.
Some of the OG listeners knows we ranted and complained about this. How like Asia is like will punish people smoking marijuana.
Yeah.
Like caught with like any type of like
drugs.
Drug substance,
yeah.
even if it's very minimal. And nothing, no one is hurt, they'll prosecute and go after them harder than
yeah.
they would to sexual offenders and all this kind of shit.
It's bullshit.
As you heard.
It's so fucking backwards.
And saw what happened. He only had 18 months.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane. And they like were running the ring like of prostitution and like investors, embezzlement, all that shit. So, I mean, with all that shit happening to Top also with like he got caught with the marijuana and getting in trouble for that. But then... Now Big Bang was ruined, not like, you know, like he already felt bad about the image he ruined
right.
with the quote unquote drugs, which was just marijuana. And
yeah.
now with Sungri fucking sex trafficking and shit, obviously like a lot of shit got destroyed.
He was like,
tarnished. I'm sure
like,
he got torn apart.
And because
inside.
Like Top is such a good person, obviously it affected him so badly. That's why he like dropped out. Like he just was like. MIA for a long, long time until he did Squid Game 2.
Yeah.
And I feel like when he did that, it really, really did help him, like, boost his confidence again and see, like,
like
people
publicly,
don't
right?
fucking
in the public
hate
eye.
Him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's right. If you didn't realize, Top was Thanos from Squid Game Season 2.
Yeah, I'm so happy he did that because, honestly, like, it made him, you know, because they are doing, like, a lot of interviews with him and, like, he was able to open up to the public and, like, you know, really talk about what happened and how he felt. So it was, like, a way, the beginning of him to, like, start his healing journey and, like, putting out this album, too, is a part of that, too, as well. I'm happy okay. for him, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is good, though. At least, like, hopefully seems like he's in a better mental and emotional state.
Yeah.
Especially after finally being able to, like, put it all on the table
yeah.
for us to listen to. So, yes, back to Studio 54. You know, so now you might get why he said dirty sun. We're talking about stupid ass, dirty ass,
burning
sun
scandal, yeah.
And it ruined his soul. Obviously, it would. Like,
yeah.
It destroyed, like,
it
probably
destroyed,
like, them. And also, the interesting part is the song is called Studio 54. Mm. We talked how it's like a big, huge nightclub venue,
right,
but a lot of crazy, like, sexual, back, like, illegal
drugs.
Shit, drugs happening for sure behind closed doors at Studio 54. And, you know, it's since the 70s till, like, the 90s, right?
Right.
So I'm sure that's also, like, a reference between, like, all the crazy bad shit going on in the back.
Right. And then, like, you're aware of it.
You're aware of it.
No one does anything about
it. Yeah, exactly. And all that shit, like, it's just kind of put to the side because what's more important is the image.
Right.
And, like, how cool it is. So, yeah, I mean, this really, he took a lot of time and, like, emotional power to, like, really think this album through.
Right.
And work on it, so.
Yes.
It, very interesting. So there you go.
They are
the original kings of K-pop, to be honest. Like, they put K-pop kind of on the map for many.
And they're gonna be at Coachella.
Well, fellow ARMY, if you didn't know, especially baby ARMY, I don't know if you've watched some of their old interviews for BTS.
They all looked up to Big Bang.
All of them.
All
when
of
they
them.
When they ask, oh, who is your, like, biggest influence?
Big Bang.
It's all Big Bang members.
Yep.
All of them.
Yep.
Speaking of a top TOP, wasn't that fucking Jin's choice?
I think so.
Yeah, Jin's choice was top.
Jimin's was like GD, I think. So. Yeah, they loved it. And they would always do, like, their dance challenge. I mean, dance challenges weren't a thing back then. But when on Bangtan TV, like, the behinds, they would be, like, dancing to all Big Bang songs and singing it. So, yeah, they are the kings for
so
a
there
reason.
You go. I mean, yeah, check him out. Even G-Dragon's recent solo album was really cool.
Yes.
And, like, he's best friends with Pharrell Williams. And I could hear the similar types of, like, tune.
Yeah.
And, like, tone.
They all, they all put out their own solo albums.
Well,
and,
of course,
like, the missing the missing piece of the puzzle was top. And it's finally, he released one. So
check
I'm
all
very
that
happy.
Out if you're curious. Also, the funniest man alive in K-pop. Daesung. His shows are the funniest shit next to, like, Jonathan's stuff.
He's so fucking funny.
I will talk really briefly before we get to BTS and Stray Kids about Le Sserafim because they are teasing a lot of their comeback. Time to Celebrate. They've been dropping so many different reels, TikToks, and just videos and clips for Time to Celebrate. So it's coming up soon. They also performed at their manager's wedding. It's always cool to see when K-pop artists are performing at manager's weddings, like, right? And directors. And it's always like, fuck, that must be nice.
Yeah.
Like, you have your wedding and, like, oh, look, there's Le Sserafim. They're going to perform Anti-Fragile, which they did. Also, my girl, Jennifer Yunjin, she was having a live broadcast by the Han River. And she started picking flowers and, you know, thought it was really pretty, picked some flowers. Then someone commented, Fear Not, what I was watching, because it was alive and she's reading it. She, this Fear Not said, isn't it illegal to pick flowers at the Han River? And she read it, saw it. She's like, wait a minute. Is it illegal to pick flowers at the Han River? Really? And then she quickly, like turned 180. She's like started apologizing. I'm really sorry if it's true. I'm truly sorry. She looks so guilty. And she said, let's keep it a secret. And that was it. Also, we're probably hopefully going to go to their pop-up in Orange County this weekend. We'll see if it falls through and if we end up really going. I did grab the VR concert tickets with some friends. I'm looking forward to seeing how that is. Someone messaged us saying they went to the ATEEZ one. It was really fun. And we've seen clips of the TXT ones. And it looks interesting and fun. So I'm like, in general, I'm looking forward to it. It was, with fees and everything, basically $50. So I guess it's not too bad. Especially with fucking movie tickets these days. It costs like almost 30. $30. So this is a VR experience. I mean, shit, this will be very interesting. Getting a lap dance from Yunjin. Hopefully. Anyways, so that's what's going on. And I think now is a good time to take our last final break of this episode. Don't forget to stay hydrated. Don't forget to use the restroom. If you've been holding it in, just please pause. And while you do that, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell wherever you're tuning in because we are still here. And we are pretty much available on most podcast streaming platforms. So wherever you're tuning in, just support us there. And Haley, what can they do?
Find us on Instagram at Permission to Stand Podcast, and you can send us DMs there.
Like I said, this is going to be a long episode, and let's finish it off, Haley, with BTS.
Yeah, okay. So, BTS. They released the deluxe vinyl edition of their fifth full-length album, Arirang. So what's special about this deluxe version, if you are wondering? And it's only vinyl.
It's like, oh, another one. But yeah, it's vinyl. Oh, you get it. Are you going to get it?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you okay. Well, tell us what comes
of it. The reason why is because, so this one includes 15 tracks, whereas the first, the original album is only 14. So there is a new song on this vinyl, which is the secret hidden song, I guess, called Come Over. I really, really like this song. It's really
good. It's crazy
good.
That's only on the fucking vinyl.
I know. And wild. A lot of people, a lot of ARMY are complaining because they're like, I don't have a fucking vinyl player. How am I supposed to, like, what am I supposed to do? I guess you have to buy a vinyl player then. To play
it. Because you can't.
You can't.
It's not on Spotify.
No, it's nowhere. You can't see it anywhere. It doesn't exist anywhere.
It's insane. No. That's the digital footprint, people. The problem with digital age is once you're into all the streaming services and everything, if they take it off, or if they don't even put it on at all, you won't have access to it.
But people have actually, like, you know, recorded it and uploaded it on YouTube. So if you want to listen to it and download it there, it is available. But it's not on any, like, Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that. So, yeah, it is a hidden song. And I feel like BTS has done this a lot on other albums. They have hidden songs that are only available on the physical copies of the albums. So on the day of the release, Yoongi shared a message on social media saying, I can't say everything yet, but I hope you'll like what we like. What? Oh, wait. Expressing his heartfelt sentiments about the hidden song. I don't know. I'm just, like, copying verbatim what he wrote. The members had previously expressed strong affection for the song. During a Weverse Live, they when they were celebrating their Hot 100 on Billboard as number one, of course. So Namjoon introduced Come Over by saying, it's a hidden track Yoongi was really upset about. The members added, he cried, he really cried. Because Yoongi shared, and he said, I kept asking for 2 weeks, why isn't it included on the album? Like, he wanted this track to be on the actual album, but they didn't.
I don't know why.
They put it only on the vinyl.
It's so fucked up, to be honest.
I know, I'm like, what the fuck? It's a really good song. I really like this song a lot.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit.
I can understand why he cried.
We listen to it because people post... Yes. Like the vinyl playing and put a video
right.
on.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, can you imagine if we heard it in person with our actual sound system with our vinyl player?
I'm probably going to buy it. Fuck. It's like 50 bucks.
It comes with photo cards.
It does.
Is it a full set?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So. Special photo card set. Always, that's how you get K-pop fans.
Yeah. So go listen to it. I mean, just Google. I mean... search Come Over and then it will pop up. So BTS will also be starting their Arirang world tour already, like tomorrow.
Yeah,
April 9th.
It's fucking happening already. Yeah. Oh my
April
god.
April 9th, 11th and 12th in Korea, of course, and then they'll be heading to Japan April 17th and 19th before already coming to North America, and their first concert is in Tampa, Florida on April 25th and 26th. I can't believe it's already happening. And people have been posting like spoilers of like them practicing,
yeah,
and
it's
rehearsing.
Crazy. It's huge.
What,
like,
songs they're gonna be putting
on. Stage is crazy.
Yeah,
that's a huge ass stage.
So yeah, it's happening. I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of ARMY are going to the concert. I'm glad that we did actually end up getting tickets for them, because like I did end up really liking the album. Despite all the fucking, like, oh, what the fuck is this in the beginning?
But it's like one of those albums where it grows on you a lot.
It does. And I really like
but
it.
But
I
mean,
enjoy it.
We've contrasted that to like some of their older albums where it's just like, yeah, oh shit, that's good.
Right.
One after
listen
the other.
To it, like one time.
Like Map of the Soul.
You hear it once and
you're
like,
fuck,
oh, really
this
good.
Is crazy.
So
it's like very impactful.
My reaction was like not like that, but I do genuinely
but
like, I don't
that's
know.
The thing though, because that's your expectations, yeah, when it comes to BTS, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, Love Yourself, Answer.
Yeah.
Map of the Soul, 7.
Persona.
Right. Like, fuck. I mean, these things are all insane.
Yeah.
Even You Never Walk Alone and...
Right.
Oh, my God. Even the one... What the fuck is the one with the hot air balloon? The one with the long title.
Yeah, yeah.
Young that. Forever yeah, some yeah. shit. See, like, I remember all this shit.
Because they have really good, like, it's... But Arirang is really good. I do enjoy it.
It's just, yeah.
A lot. It just took me a while.
Yeah.
Well, a few listens, actually. So, wait, why are you laughing? Okay.
Your favorite track.
Which one?
Dong.
That was the best one. So, we won't actually be seeing them until the very last day of the North America leg of the tour.
Which is crazy. We are on the last LA stop yeah. and the last whole North America stop.
Which is September 6th.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either.
I was like,
when
oh, shit.
We bought it. I was like, oh, wait. That's the last North America.
I was like, oh, shit.
Okay.
So that's good for us. They're going to go crazy
away.
Probably that night.
Yeah, I mean, so.
Are we taking the day off? Because we're going on a Sunday.
Yeah, I have to. I'm working that day.
No, I'm talking the day off after. I'm going Agassi Gopcha. I'm waiting for Jin. Jin and Jackson Wang.
Jin. Yeah, so anyway. I think you put this here. Jungkook? Oh, he's been reposting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
This guy's a reposting fucking machine. Just, he's reposting. Every BTS post
yeah.
or like
anything to do with BTS.
Anything to do with BTS. I see
it.
His fucking repost little
yeah.
bubble.
Yes.
On every Instagram
he's so
thing.
Cute.
He's a reposting
him.
Fucking machine. So much so that there's even a GIF someone created of him reposting. Like, it's fucking crazy. He's reposting everything from, like, random content creators talking
yes.
about BTS making funny stuff to, like, Nugu girl groups, like, Eunice from, like, Alicia, which is the Filipino member. Like, she was doing one of the dance covers, and he's just reposting it. It's really cool.
Honestly,
so it's on all these different artists and idol groups.
It's not even, like, well-known, like, influencers either. It could
no,
be,
no,
like, you could have, like, 100 followers, and he'll repost
he'll
your
repost
shit.
It. It's funny and amazing.
If he thinks it's
amazing.
Funny, like, and
or
it has
likes
anything
it.
To do with BTS, he will repost it.
You'll be rewarded with a repost, for
him,
real.
Namjoon and J-Hope liking, but then JK reposts like everything.
Yeah,
it's so funny actually. And I see like his little bubble. I'm like, oh my god.
This is for my fellow ARMY monsties because I was super excited when one of the reposts was Chiquita
yeah.
doing Hooligan, and it was like a TikTok challenge that J-Hope reposted and Jungkook obviously reposted on Instagram. So it's just like nonstop. It's like everything. It's The crumbs we're all waiting for.
The one funny one that we saw today was like there. Someone made that funny like meme of Jungkook. Like they have his like little circle bubble like as his face, and then he's doing the repost. Like, was that like?
Yeah.
Was that Jim Carrey's movie? I forgot which one where he's just like typing really, really fast.
It might be like from like fucking Bruce Almighty or some shit.
Yes.
I think it is.
So someone made an edit of that. And, like, because they're making fun of Jungkook reposting. Guess who fucking reposted
he
it?
He fucking Jungkook. Reposted it, too. That shit was amazing.
So he probably saw that and laughed.
This
like,
is a
oh.
great this is a great time to be alive if you're an ARMY. You've been waiting for this.
No, honestly, he doesn't hide anything anymore. Remember, he used to hide his reposts
this
and, like,
whole,
who he liked.
This whole era of, like, where BTS is at, they
yeah.
don't give a fuck. And it's like, we have a new album.
It's good.
It's an amazing time to be an ARMY. This
yes.
is, like, the best time to be one. All right, it's what about Stay though, Haley?
So Stray Kids, they wrapped up their sixth fan meeting for their 8th year anniversary, and all I have to say that there is a lot of kissing going on between the members.
Very sus, very sus. Not surprising. I love that. I love Felix's reaction to everything. He's like a little high school girl.
He's like, he's always caught. Like, whenever those like. Gay moments are happening, he's always there. Like, it's like your friend Steve. Like, he's there at the scene of the crime every time it happens, and like his facial expressions are so fucking funny. So basically, they were doing the Pepero challenge. As we all know what that is, as a K-pop fan, you basically put a stick of Pepero between your mouth and then another member, and you basically try to eat it as close as possible without trying to kiss. But Stray Kids don't give a shit anymore, and they are, like, lip-touching, basically.
They
don't
give a fuck.
I love that. So, Bangchan and Hyunjin did it, and there was this funny, like, photo set that was happening along with what happened. So, Bangchan I don't know, like, he was kind of, like, shy and everything, and Hyunjin just went for it. He went and touched, like, he kissed Bang Chan's lips, and then he walked away like a boss, and, like, Bang Chan was just, like, totally, like, he was, like, so in shock, and then I think it was, like, Felix and Ian, their, like, mouths were, like, wide open, like, they couldn't believe, like, it actually happened, and then Hyunjin was kind of, like, mic drop, he just walked away after kissing Bang Chan, and he just, like, left.
That's how it's done, baby.
It was That's so funny. There was also a three-way, three-racha pepero kiss, which I've never seen before. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do a three-way kiss with pepero.
That was something new.
So basically, Bang Chan held two peperos in his mouth while Han and Changbin took one each and did a three-way kiss together. And Bang Chan was acting like he didn't like it, and so, like, Han and I think Changbin and then, like, Lino in the back were, like, holding Bang Chan down so they would just, like, kiss him. Honestly, stays were very, very fed with this fan meeting. They always do, like, a lot of dance challenges. They did Wonder Girls, Tell Me, Eyelet's Not Cute Anymore. Han and Changbin did Ives Bang Bang. So, like, going to these fan meetings, obviously, it's a lot of fun. They feed you very well. There's a lot of fan service. But there is one really sad thing that I have to bring up, and it really sucks, because this was during the ending ments, and it sucks that Han had to even say this during the fan meeting, because let me just read what he said.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "I want to tell the company to let all the members have a break together. I don't need to say it here so they don't cut off my comment." He's like, "I need to say it here," because they usually stop him from saying this kind of shit. He's like, "Fuck, this is my chance. This is the fan meeting. I'm going to say it." He's like, "I'm saying it here." He's like, "I feel like I might get into trouble anyway, but it's okay. Getting scolded is part of everyday life. When we recorded content last year, we said they would give us days off. Just give us 3 to 4 days off together."
That's JYP, baby. They work everyone to
the
bone. They
are like fucking slaves. It sucks that Han had to even mention this during the fan meeting, but I hope with this that he doesn't get scolded and they just give them the 3 to 4 days off. Like, is that so much to fucking ask? They're like constantly making content. They're doing albums. They're doing tours. They're doing fan meetings. Like, 3 to 4 days is nothing. Give that to them.
This reminds me, and I forgot, I have this in my notes in my head, but I forgot to type it down because there's too much shit always going on. Yes, for Twice, because JYP works everyone to the bone. That includes Twice.
Twice and Stray Kids.
We fucking lost Chaeyoung because she pulled her fucking back trying to pick up some luggage, apparently.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, oh, my God. So she's out. She's out for the rest of the damn U.S. tour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because obviously, you know, we really talked about our frustrations of Dubu's fucking broken ankle.
Right.
That she was fucking still performing on because they wouldn't do a stupid, simple x-ray. For, like, all that time, we're just very thankful we got to see her. It sucks that she was in all that pain and she had a fractured fucking ankle that we all didn't know about when we saw her. And we had all the members.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, even throughout the tour, like, you know, Gio was sitting down. Jonghyun was out for one. It's like,
Mina got her teeth pulled out.
Yeah, like, what the fuck is going on? This is just...
They need a fucking break.
By Austin, which we are going to, which is crazy to think next week.
Yeah.
Fuck, we need to record early too for that shit. Anyways, but yeah, it's that's how JYP functions.
I felt so sad.
They're older too, though.
I let them have a break.
They're fucking older. Yeah, they're all getting old. Too. Shit.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, I do hope they get a break. And he wants them to be, like, all together. Like, let them have a little vacation. All, like, maybe just...
Zero content recording. We don't need them
just
being followed with a camera. Because, obviously, anywhere they go, they'll probably have to have, like, managers of security with them.
I hate that shit. But you don't have to film content for them. Just let them actually have a relaxing break together.
Like a normal fucking life for 3 days.
Poor baby. I felt so bad. Poor Han. She's like, "They're not going to cut me off. I'm going to say it here." But yeah, so that's it. That is it. Done.
That's it. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to this week's episode. I told you it was jam-packed. A lot of stuff going on. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yep.
That's it. Mic drop. Done. Haley.
Yes.
Tell them.
Find us on Instagram at Permission to Stamp Podcast and send your DMs there. Woo.
And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Thank you to everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We will see you all again next Thursday when we're going to be in Austin, but we'll have the episode out. So please look forward to that. We'll be seeing Sana. I cannot wait to see her again. And there's just so much stuff going on in the world of K-pop. I mean, please DM us, like Haley said. Let us know what you've been checking out lately. It's always nice to see all the different stories, and I want to see it before Haley sees it, because by the time she sees it, it's red, so I don't get to see it. So hopefully I get to see it. So let us know there. Message us there, my fellow girl group, I guess, fans. Since Haley gets a lot of fellow Stay Army messaging her, I get some monsties, you know, here and there. But what about my heart chewed, you know? So till the next episode, please take care, stay safe, and as always, peace.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Sleeping hot? Waking up sweaty at 2 a.m.? It's not you, it's your sheets. And Care Aloha is your answer. They're the original for bamboo sheets that are naturally breathable, moisture-wicking, and luxuriously soft, designed to keep hot sleepers cool and comfortable all night long. You can feel the difference in how much cooler you sleep. Care Aloha's innovative bamboo fabric pulls heat away from your body so you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer without cranking the AC. Improve your sleep tonight. Shop Care Aloha bamboo sheets now at carealoha.com. That's CARILOHA.com. Cooler sleep starts with Care Aloha.